Hello, this is Anil Kumar and welcome to Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today we continue our series, The King Goes Public, with a message from Dr. John Neufeld entitled, The Humility of the Great King, Matthew chapter 3 verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for this it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now let's join Dr. John Neufeld as we go back to the Bible.
The story is told of a group of tourists visiting the house of Beethoven. They came to the room that housed the very famous piano on which he had composed. The guide simply said, And here now is the master's piano. There was one woman in the group, and without being asked, she sat down on the bench and played a brief section of one of Beethoven's sonatas. She then said, I suppose a lot of people have enjoyed playing on this piano. And the guide said, Well, Ignacy Paderewski, former Prime Minister of Poland, and in his day one of the greatest pianists in the world, was asked to play on this very piano. And he said, No, I'm not worthy. See, humility is an interesting thing. It's especially interesting when someone who has little to offer has none of it, and someone who has so much to offer demands it of themselves. James 4:10 says, Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Take the initiative in being humble, and be content to let God, in his own time, promote you according to his own good pleasure. Let's go back to the preaching ministry of John the Baptist. John has been announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The great king was about to be revealed, and when the king comes, he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Now is the time to get right with God, repent, and then as a sign of genuine, heartfelt repentance, I will baptize you in the Jordan. Imagine, if you will, the crowd's response. Some are in tears as for the first time they see how abhorrent their behavior is to God. Others are just quiet, contemplating how it has come to this, that they have become enemies of God. Some people have questions. What does this mean we should do? Some who are rich are being instructed to share their wealth with the poor. Tax collectors are told to stop overtaxing the population and extorting their money to line their own pockets. Roman soldiers are also told to be content with their pay and stop threatening the people and taking their money. Prostitutes are leaving their professions. And then the baptismal line forms, and everyone in the line has gotten a specific and individual sense of their own sin. And now try to picture that scene, a long line of sinners lurching forward one step at a time down to the banks of Jordan, waiting for the person in front of them to be baptized, and then the next step forward, and then in the water, and then comes the baptism. And as you look down the line, you notice to your utter amazement, Jesus standing patiently in line just like everyone else. When the line moves up, he moves with it. He's simply waiting his turn, not saying a word, not protesting that he was better and has different reasons than everyone else in the line. Now he, along with all the others, waits for his turn to be baptized. And if you didn't know better, you'd mistake him for any number of sinners who are lining up. So let's read Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Matthew tells us that Jesus had come all the way from Galilee to the Jordan. Mark tells us that he was living in Nazareth at the time. We remember that John was baptizing somewhere along the Jordan as it flows southward into Judea and then finally empties into the Dead Sea. There have been a number of traditional sites given for this baptism, but the actual place is not mentioned in the biblical text. So how far did Jesus walk to get there? We can't say exactly with certainty how far he walked, but it's likely that he walked somewhere about 100 kilometers to get there. So assume that Jesus was in excellent physical condition, that would have been a three-day walk. Of course, he would have spent some time there and then 3 days to get home, so we assume that he would have been gone for over a week. You must therefore assume that he thought that what he was doing was very important. Because the text seems to indicate that John may not have been expecting Jesus, we then assume that Jesus came unannounced. Because he was not known at the time, his arrival created no stir at all. He was simply among the crowd, hearing John's sermon. Then he simply got into the sinner's line and eventually stood before John ready to be baptized. Matthew says that John would have prevented Jesus, that is, if he could have. John is protesting. I need to be baptized by you. He clearly believes that Jesus had no need to be baptized like everyone else. That indicates two things. First, that John and Jesus knew each other. But that shouldn't be surprising. We know that Jesus' mother, Mary, and John's mother, Elizabeth, were relatives, and that the two women visited each other while they were pregnant. Indeed, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months during that time. Since Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary arrived, it's not impossible that Mary could have assisted in the birth of John. Well, did the boys play together? We're not told. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, and John was raised in the hill country of Judah, so they would have been some distance from each other. I doubt they spent a lot of time together so far away, although they would have known one another. I'm also assuming that Elizabeth told John of his own miraculous birth, but she also would have told him about the greater miracle of the birth of Jesus. So it's not surprising that John recognized Jesus when he stood before him. After all, they were related. Secondly, we assume that John must have been aware of Jesus' righteous character. I'm assuming that he had heard news of the kind of young man he was, about his fervor for Scripture and for righteousness. We don't know if John knew that Jesus was sinless. I suspect he did not. I say that because in the Gospel of John, and that, by the way, is not the Gospel of John the Baptist, but it's the Gospel of John the Apostle, John the Apostle mentioned that it was only after the baptismal experience of Jesus that John the Baptist begins to call Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, I assume that John the Baptist knew Jesus as righteous and noble, but he did not know that he was the Messiah with certainty, and he certainly did not know that he was sinless. But he was. Hebrews 4:15 teaches that Jesus was tempted in every respect as we are, and yet was without sin. I mention this because I'm amazed how often I hear people, even Christian people, say they believe that Jesus sinned on occasion. Please understand that the Bible adamantly denies this. We see that in Hebrews 4:15, but also in Hebrews 7:26. There we're told that Jesus, had he not been sinless, he would not have been our perfect high priest. And then Hebrews 7:26 adds, Jesus was holy, innocent, unstained, and separated from sinners. So again, we have to ask the question, if that's the case, what is Jesus doing standing in front of John the Baptist, insisting that John baptize him? And what does this explanation mean when he says it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness? How is it righteous for a sinless man to be baptized with a baptism signifying repentance? I think Jesus was baptized for three reasons. The first is simple. Jesus knows it to be the Father's will that he be baptized. And this will become the theme of his ministry. He will only act according to the Father's will. He will be known as submissive to the Father in everything. The second reason has to do with Christ seeking to identify himself with the people he came to save. Jesus will take upon himself the role of a servant. He will stoop down and wash the feet of the disciples. He will say that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. In the end, he will be utterly humiliated as he is slandered, beaten, tortured, and killed. His baptism is but the first symbol of his willingness to take the road of humility. His is a deliberate act of humiliation. I could stop here and ask, who deliberately seeks to be humiliated? No one. But he did. And by the way, from Jesus, we learn the pathway of humility. We learn to wash one another's feet. We learn that from him. But there's a third important lesson and a reason why Jesus was baptized. He does so in anticipation of his work on the cross. In a sense, and this may seem subtle, but in a sense, he is baptized as a representative of the Jewish nation and as a representative of everyone who needs to repent. He stands in line for us. Now, I'm sure that John would not have understood all these reasons. He only knew that in some fashion to baptize Jesus would fulfill the righteous demands of the Father, and so he consents. But to the rest of the people there that day, all of this was lost on them. Here in their eyes was just another sinner in need of repentance and baptism. And when we come back, we're going to see that what Jesus did forms an important lesson on the nature of Christ and of our own need to be like him. We should seek the lowest place. We should think that humility is a welcome place for us to be. I know that we find that difficult, but I'm going to continue to want to press this example of Jesus on us so that we will say to the Father, "Oh, to be like him. I want to be humble even as my Savior is."
Thank you, Dr. John, for that message. Jesus humbled himself even unto death on a cross. This was his example. Helps us to take this example in how we live for him. We will learn more about this passage tomorrow as we continue our series, The King Goes Public. Thanks for listening in today, and remember to join us on this station, or you can always visit us at backtothebible.in. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, including events like our upcoming pastors' conference this coming February, our Bible teaching correspondence courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine, Confident Living, a variety of books and materials, and how you can be involved in the ministry of Back to the Bible. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or a complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? For more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070. Thank you very much for listening to Back to the Bible radio broadcast.